Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Early childhood education is under threat as the Trump administration flip-flops on the Head Start program. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Last month, the president asked Congress to eliminate funds for Head Start, which has supported childcare and preschool programs in the U.S. for more than 60 years. Trump has since backed off. The federal budget includes no funding cuts. But that doesn't mean the program's home free. The Trump administration has closed half the nation's regional Head Start offices and laid off thousands of employees. So will parents and kids be left out in the cold? To discuss, we were joined by Nadia Gronkowski, Program Manager of Policy and Advocacy at Start Early, and Pamela Epley, Vice President of Academic Affairs at the Erickson Institute. That's a Chicago area graduate school for early childhood development. And we started with a quick summary of Head Start. Here's Nadia.
So Head Start is a federally funded program that really provides wraparound and comprehensive early childhood and maternal health and child health services to families across the country. It currently serves about 800,000 children and families every year and really serves children in every zip code across the country. In some areas, this is the only child care that they have in the community, so it's really a critical service.
Head Start. Wow. Why was it originally introduced back in the 60s?
Yeah, so in 1965, it was introduced as part of President Johnson's war on poverty, so really intended to give a leg up and a head start to children who are living in poverty and make sure that they get access to high-quality early childhood education.
Yeah. And so talk more, Pamela, about who this program serves, because there's a special population here that will really be impacted by some of these closures.
That's right. The population served is really lower-income children and families. There's an intentional effort at Head Start programs to also serve children with disabilities and developmental delays and their families who will be impacted. And Head Start also really does a thoughtful job about incorporating parent engagement and supporting really the whole child and the whole family holistically. And all of that is really at threat of being impacted.
What does that look like, the parent engagement piece?
Parent engagement, there's a lot of intentional effort about getting parent input around programming, bringing parents into the program, really thoughtfully considering the cultural, the family aspects, really trying to engage and bring that into the classrooms and the centers. So it reflects the priorities and the needs of the families in that area.
Anything else you can add, Nadia, about just the services that Head Start provides?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, there's the parent leadership piece where there's parent leadership groups that are really built into the governance structure of the program. So really truly parent-led decision-making in each program. But there's also the maternal health aspects of the program.
Yeah,
so the
program
even starts prenatally if there's an early Head Start component to the program and really takes families by the hand when they're expecting their little one and makes sure that they have access to prenatal services, eventually postnatal services, and really is that kind of guiding partner through can be a tumultuous time in a family's life. And we know for families that don't have as great access to prenatal care and postnatal care that these services really do make a difference.
And as I mentioned there, the federal budget for now does not include any funding cuts to the Head Start program, contrary to what we thought was going to happen. But still, though, teachers, families, advocates, they're very concerned about the stability of this program. The Trump administration at the same time is closing several regional offices, laying off staff who support the program. So it sounds like some of the very folks that you're laying out here, Nadia and Pamela, And that's led to even funding delays that threatened to close individual schools, too. So give us more of that on-the-ground experience, just from your standpoint, Nadia, and the type of impact that some of these Head Start closures could have on your organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's twofold right now. And as you alluded to, there's been kind of a switch in the last, even just the last week, right?
Yeah.
So what we saw initially is that the president's, that the leaked version of the president's initial budget included a plan to eliminate the Head Start program altogether. Last week was a different story. So we saw nothing in the president's top line budget, the official release of it, that indicated any kind of elimination of the Head Start program. So it's a small win, but I think what happened in between there is that parents and community members and teachers and business leaders and lots of other folks raised their voices and said, your initial proposal did not resonate with us in our everyday lives. And as you're saying, you know, this is critical care for people, people in cities, people in suburbs, people in rural areas. Every zip code across the country is served by a Head Start program. In some rural areas, this is the only type of childcare they have. So it's not like there's another choice in town. So if for parents who need a reliable source of childcare in order to go to work every day, this is really important stuff. So appreciate everyone who has lifted their voices in the last few weeks to say that.
And it sounds like even in that small moment where you saw, okay, in the top line, there are no cuts coming. I don't know if it was a full sense of relief that brought you, because, again, there's been so much uncertainty when it comes to the Trump administration.
Well, another impact is the childcare workers and the early childhood teachers in the Head Start programs, who are often the lowest paid employees and lowest paid educators in the field, and their livelihood as well if they can't go to work. And just the uncertainty that parents have of themselves being able to work or not, whether or not they have childcare, is a huge source of tension and trauma on a day-to-day basis.
Well, as the Trump administration can't seem to make up its mind, what does that do for you folks, right? How do you prepare? Are you looking ahead and thinking, okay, well, what if this changes? What if this flip-flops again, Nadia? Are you sort of thinking of plans just in case?
Sure. And everybody should be, because yes, again, it has been unpredictable. And I think the big plan is to continue advocating and to continue, you know, raising our voices to say like, this is important to us.
That's such a strange way to move forward.
It is. And I think, you know, we need to keep our eyes on that FY26 budget, which begins in October. And that's sort of where we're talking about, like, the president's top line budget. That's what that refers to. But even now, we need to keep our eyes on the FY25 budget and the continuation of programs and services now. As you said, you know, so many grantees for the Head Start program are experiencing delays in funding, and that, you know, even just a few day delay for some programs can mean the difference between keeping their doors open and having to close either temporarily or permanently.
Is it clear to you, Pamela, what is the administration's argument against Head Start?
Well, the U.S. has always had somewhat of an ambivalent attitude towards Head Start, and it has never been fully funded. The arguments now tend to promote decreasing bureaucratic costs and increasing parental choice. But as Nadia stated, parental choice and parental engagement is inherent in the framework of Head Start.
Anything to add, Nadia?
Just that, you know, I think it's an unprecedented threat that we're facing now for the Head Start program, because it has enjoyed such incredible bipartisan support really since 1965, its very inception.
But it's been at risk before.
Nothing like this. Nothing like the proposed complete elimination of the program.
Right now, as it stands, is the Trump administration coming after other early childhood development programs?
I think they are, and potentially related to Head Start early intervention, the Part C of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act that serves infants and toddlers with developmental delays and disabilities and their families, is also is hugely funded by Medicare funding or Medicaid funding.
Okay, yeah. Anything that the state or local governments can do, Nadia?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, of critical importance right now is just continuing to tell the story of what this program means in your state, in your community. I think, you know, we can get into, like you said, kind of the big discussions, the broad brushstrokes of governmental efficiency, but that those kinds of conversations lose the fact that these are kids going to school every day, going to programming every day, and their families love it and rely on it. So I think elevating those stories, I feel we feel a bit like it's getting lost.
Well,
so
it's getting
the more
lost.
We can share that, the better.
And the impact of these programs, when we think about in the future, for every dollar spend, there's plenty of research that shows for every dollar spend, we have a $7 return on investment in the future in terms of not requiring later supports in education, in terms of livelihood, in terms of health. So it is a huge investment in our future.
Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, Head Start employs a lot of people, right? It employs, what, tens of thousands of people just here in our region alone. Nadia, what else can you share about those numbers?
I believe it's about 9,400 staff members in Illinois alone. And as you said earlier, you know, those are folks who are also contributing to the economy and who also can go to work every day. And so, you know, we're seeing sort of this downstream effect of, like, yes, at the center of all of this is the kids and their families and the educators, but all, you know, are surrounding them is kind of the impacts on the local economy as well.
Have either of you had to respond to questions from families who are confused, concerned, and what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have definitely heard that there is there are folks whose sort of trust in the program is being shaken. And I would say, you know, trust in your program, but fight for your program at the same time. You've got to stand up and just continue to share how important this is for you. And we're there to partner with you on that.
Yeah, I imagine as a parent, some confusion as to, like, where this is coming from, right? And not knowing sort of who to point fingers at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you seeing yet, I know that this is kind of still in limbo, but are you seeing yet a loss in childcare from the regional office closures that we've been talking about?
I think there have been closures. There's been confusion. There's been inability to make payroll and sites not knowing, are we going to be able to open tomorrow or not?
Yeah.
And we, Erickson has a lot of alumni and graduates that work in these types of centers and provide the support, and they're uncertain. And to go back to your prior question, they're uncertain as to what to tell the families that are in their programs and the children that are in their programs, because this, the idea of whether or not you're going to be able to go to your center or your school, and that uncertainty is traumatic and confusing
this
for children.
This is such a regular part of the daily routine as a parent. You wake up, you get your kid ready. That's the first place you take them to. Then you head to work. And it's just like, it's like clockwork. So I can't imagine that just being the rug just being pulled under, pulled from under me as a mom.
It's confusing. It's traumatic. And it's hard for parents to be able to communicate that to their child and for teachers to be able to communicate that to the children in their centers.
Yeah. What would a world without Head Start look like, Nadia?
Gosh, I mean, the 800,000 children across the country and pregnant folks across the country who would be losing services day to day, like you just said. But also, you know, just understanding the immense value that this program has in terms of preparing kids for school and kindergarten. It's the immediate effects of parents not having that trusted place to go and to get their health, their, you know, their health needs met and their education needs met, but thinking, you know, years down the road on the impacts there too.
Huge impacts down the road in terms of school readiness, in terms of school achievement, graduation rates, employment later on. It is a long game.
That's right. I think that that's the piece, that's the disconnect for a lot of people too, is just how much of a long-term impact Head Start really provides here.
Absolutely.
We'll leave it there for now. We've been talking about the future of Head Start with Nadia Gronkowski from Start Early and Pam Epley from the Erickson Institute. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Make sure to stay tuned in by subscribing to the podcast or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely